Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now though, US TV network ABC has pulled late night host Jimmy Kimmel off air indefinitely over comments he made about the shooting of right-wing influencer Charlie Kirk. Jimmy Kimmel Live will be preempted indefinitely, a spokesperson for the Disney-owned network said in a statement, meaning another show will replace it on the schedule. So what did he say? Well, let's have a listen.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks. They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition. Construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend.
Well, that is why Jimmy Kimmel is no longer on air. Let's get more on this. I'm joined by law lecturer at the University of Galway, Larry Donnelly. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Claire.
What did you make of what Jimmy Kimmel said in his monologue?
You know, I don't know if I found it particularly funny, but certainly I didn't find it hugely offensive. I mean, he was saying that, look, that the MAGA movement was desperate to move the guilt away, that he to deny that the accused was one of their own. He poked fun at Donald Trump's reaction when asked how he was dealing with the tragedy. It was sort of standard late night comedy fare to my way of thinking. And that's why it didn't attract huge attention the way some of the more offensive comments that have been made by some on the left, the way that those did, it all kind of exploded afterwards. These comments were made on Monday, and it didn't really explode until Wednesday.
So there wasn't a huge public reaction in the aftermath of him making the comments. So how did it all play out then?
Well, what happened was the chair of the Federal Communications Commission went on to a right-wing podcast and expressed his deep concerns. And I think it's worth noting exactly what he said. He said, "This is a very, very serious issue right now for Disney," Disney being the parent company of ABC. And he said, "We can do this the easy way or the hard way. These companies can find ways to take action on Kimmel, or there is going to be additional work for the FCC ahead." Now, I cannot believe that Brendan Carr would make these comments without the express imprimatur from the very top. And in the wake of those comments, we first had Nexstar, which owns a number of ABC affiliate stations, saying it was not going to run the Jimmy Kimmel show. We see that ABC then pulled the show. And this comes in a context, as Carr averted to, where Disney has serious business in front of the FCC, where Nexstar has very serious business in front of the FCC. So how you can't view this as an ultimatum being issued on behalf of the Trump administration, I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is extraordinary that he would go as far as he did. I mean, he commented on calls for Kimmel to be fired. I think you could certainly see a path forward for a suspension over this. So he essentially was telling the broadcaster what to do. And if they didn't follow his instructions, if you like, he's saying, "I'm going to take action." You know, as you said earlier, there's an easy way, which is you taking the action over Jimmy Kimmel, or we do it.
Absolutely. And the bottom line here, Claire, is that especially in America, money talks. And there are very many billions of dollars on the line when it comes to getting FCC approval here. And the chilling effect that this has on free speech, of course, we as Americans trumpet the First Amendment. The First Amendment, which accords broader protection to speech than anything here in Europe. And indeed, we had J.D. Vance in Munich earlier this year say exactly that the Biden administration was desperate to silence people for speaking their minds. The Trump administration will do precisely the opposite. This all flies directly in the face of what the administration said earlier this year, one of their primary attack lines on the previous administration, and indeed on the European continent. So what to make of this, I don't know. I mean, last week I took the view that America was teetering on the brink when it came after in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination.
Yes.
What the next steps were, I didn't know, but I think we're starting to see them. And one of the devastating consequences of this is that it seems to be being used to suppress free speech. And that's a tragedy in the American system. And I'm not sure what lies next.
Well, the Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom said on social media, the Republican Party doesn't believe in free speech. They're censoring you in real time. And this man, Brendan Carr, who we were speaking to earlier, he's a political appointee, is he?
He is, yeah. I mean, he has been appointed by both Trump and Biden, but the Republicans do have a majority on the FCC. So it is in Trump's gift, really, in terms of FCC approvals and other things. And Claire, this comes in a wider context where we've seen Donald Trump launch lawsuits against multiple media organizations, some of whom have settled for many millions of dollars. And he has just recently sued the New York Times for $15 billion for what he says is false, but what really is critical coverage of his campaign and of his candidacy for presidency last time around. Again, this is not what we expect to see in a nation that supposedly treasures free speech.
Well, we have seen J.D. Vance calling for or encouraging listeners to call out anyone who celebrated Charlie Kirk's murder, including employers. That has led to people being fired when they were critical of Charlie Kirk or critical of those who supported him. Is it legal to do that in the United States? I mean, we would assume here that the First Amendment of the US Constitution guarantees free speech.
Well, there are a couple of things at work here. One of the things, Claire, is with respect to employment in the United States, most employees don't have anywhere near the sort of protections that employees in Europe would have. And of course, some of this will wind up in litigation, whether these terminations were lawful or not. But in a context where you have an awful lot of at-will employment, there is more grounds and more room for maneuver in terms of terminating people's employment. But it is, to me, again, flies in the face of the spirit of that First Amendment, that spirit of freedom of expression, the freedom to express one's beliefs. And we've seen, conversely, that in the past, the political right in the United States has attacked the left, for what it is seen as disciplinary actions against people who espouse right-wing views. And what it's coming down to here is they don't have any advantage on the other side. They can't claim to be a persecuted class, as many in the right have done, a persecuted class by the establishment. Now that they are in power, they are wielding that power in a really gross way. And the sad thing for me in the wake of all this, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, and remember, I keep coming back to the point that he has a wife and two young kids, the way that his death is being weaponized right now to exact retribution against political enemies is really disgusting. I don't think there's any other word for it. And what's more, I have heard so many of Donald Trump's defenders, including his most eloquent defenders, try to defend what is going on right now in the United States and what the Trump administration is doing and what others are doing at the urging of the Trump administration. And I've heard their justifications, and they just don't wash. And it will be interesting to me to see, because I know there are very many people on the political right in the United States who believe passionately in the First Amendment and in freedom of expression, whether any of them are going to stand up and say, wait a second here, I don't like what these people are saying, but I respect their right to say it.
Well, fear is a huge factor in all of this, isn't it? And I'm sure that Republicans or those on the right are not at one here. I mean, that never happens in a very large group of people, that people would feel the same way about these actions that are being taken or the fact that, people are being encouraged to call each other out. But people are now, when we see this happening right across the board in different organizations, people are fearful. They're fearful for their incomes, for their future, for their freedom, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that is true. And again, that's a very worrying sign. You know, those who've critiqued the rise of authoritarianism, I think that they very much have a point. When it comes to Republican elected officials, they are simultaneously afraid because they know that in the eyes of many people whose votes they are dependent on and will need in the 2026 midterms, that Trump and the Trump administration can do no wrong. And in fact, for some of them, they will be heartened by this, especially when it comes to attacks on the people who teach in third level institutions in the United States, who are widely regarded by many on the political right, but also many in that vast amorphous entity known as Middle America, as enemies of their values and people who should have no role in educating young people. And when the Trump administration takes action against them, as frightening as lots of us might see it, because again, we view universities and third level institutions as a place where people's minds are broadened, where they hear a variety of perspectives, et cetera, et cetera. That goes down well with that group. And that's why Republican politicians, once again, will be unlikely to push back against a lot of this, especially again in that context of midterms mm-hmm. being next year.
I mean, I know you said there that you felt that we were the response and reaction to Charlie Kirk's murder was going to be something that we all needed to watch. And there was a moment there last week where we expected large protests, perhaps violence. We haven't seen that. We have heard his widow saying that let his death be a battle cry and that her words in the aftermath of his death will echo around the world like a battle cry. But perhaps it's a more insidious sort of impact and response that we're seeing here.
Yeah, it's very definitely a different type of response. I mean, a lot of people on the right have been saying that, look, Charlie Kirk was killed. We didn't go out on the streets and riot and loot. There was none of that happening. It is very definitely a different type of retribution. It is one that is striking at a lot of the fiber and the fabric of American society and indeed the American establishment. I mean, Claire, it was a treasured notion that we could always say whatever we wanted because of the First Amendment. That was part of what made our society different. A country where the Ku Klux Klan and people who deny the Holocaust could march in parades. That's how far the First Amendment went. And it was championed by lots of people across the ideological divide. We now see that right being trampled upon, and again, being trampled upon as a result of this tragic death, which has been weaponized to carry out this assault in many respects on the virtues that we Americans have inculcated into us as part of our civic religion. So when I said last week that America was teetering on the brink, I perhaps thought it might be violence, but perhaps it is still violence, but it's violence of a different sort. It's violence against our values.
Larry, good to talk to you. Thank you very much for being with us. That's Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.